dies. Not every man really lives.
Podcasting from the chicken wing capital of the world, Buffalo, New York, this is the Truth Experiment. Here are your hosts, just trying to figure it out like everyone else, Andrew Getz and Zach Wood.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Truth Experiment. Today we have money and happiness expert Ken Honda. Ken is a best-selling self-development author in Japan with book sales surpassing 7 million copies since 2001. His latest book is called Happy Money, The Japanese Art of Making Peace with Your Money. Ken studied law in Tokyo and he entered the Japanese workforce as a business consultant and investor, retired at 29. Ken's financial expertise comes from owning and managing several businesses, including an accounting company, a management consulting firm, and a venture capitalist corporation. His writings bridge topics of finance and self-help, focusing on creating and generating personal wealth and happiness through deeper self-honesty, and we are appreciative and proud to have Ken here today.
Ken, we'd like to say thank you for spending the time to join us today. I also want to thank you for your work with creating this book. It's really helped me change my mindset about money, which is something that's always been a constant point of frustration and stress over the course of my life. We definitely want to spend most of our short time talking with you about your book, Happy Money, of course, but we'd like to start first with a quick question just regarding your own life's path, because a big focus of this podcast is discussing how to find our life's purpose and speaking with those who are living with purpose. And not only are you living with your purpose, but you've written many books that have helped others to do the same. So can you share with us how you discovered your calling and maybe share a few quick tips to lead those who are listening toward their own journey to finding their purpose?
Yeah, thank you, Zach and Andrew. Before I start, I just want to appreciate you for taking your time and listeners for taking your time to be with me. I'm doing this from Tokyo. It's almost like the other side of the planet. So I'm super excited to
Tokyo to Buffalo.
Yes, we love it. It's exactly, you know, it's exactly the opposite side. That's what we
How cool is that?
13 hours. Yes. So I started out young when it comes to studying of money. My father is a very successful accountant. So from very early on, like 7 or 8, I started to learn about money from my father, who was very successful, financially independent. And so money was always there, and he taught me everything. It's from intelligence side to emotional side. And the biggest thing happened when I was about 8 or 9, when my father's best friend and his client committed family suicide because of money. And since then, my father got depressed. So I've known that money can have superpowers over us. So I've been scared, but at the same time, I've been fascinated that money can do in a positive side. So since I was 10, I went out for this quest to know about money and how it impacts human psyche and families and workplace. So I learned that money can be neutral. It's a neutral energy, but we tend to give so many meanings to money. So money can be a god or money can be monster. It's up to what you believe what money is.
Wow, that's pretty strong. And then, so if you could give any advice to someone trying to find their own purpose the way that you have, what would you say, if you could?
I have written a few books on how to find life purposes. And what I found is that the biggest challenges in your life are often there are seeds of your life purposes. For example, one of my friends who is a dermatologist, she had a skin problem when she was young. So she struggled so many ways, and she tried so many remedies, and she ended up becoming a doctor, you know, skin doctor, and helped the patients who had the same symptom as hers. So the biggest challenges, like you had a bad childhood and you may end up being a therapist. You had a terrible childhood because you're poor and you end up being a wealthy person and helping other people. So the biggest obstacles when we experience early on tend to give us inspiration. And some people get depressed and some people get inspired by our most terrible and traumatic experiences. So find a seed near your bad experiences that you don't want to even remember.
That makes great sense. And I think, you know, we've talked about this before, inspiration leading to passion. And I think that's kind of what you're hitting on there. As you know, you navigated this relationship with money and like you just mentioned, witnessed this traumatic event. You know, you get into your business career, you're successful, you become a successful author. Your latest book, Happy Money. For those of that out there that haven't read the book, can you describe what is Happy Money to them?
Happy money is money when you receive it, it makes you smile. And when you spend it, it gives you joy. Whereas most of us are experiencing unhappy money, I don't really have to explain it, but when we receive unhappy money, we feel like, ooh, bad feeling. And when we spend it, we feel frustrated, we feel upset, resentment, so we don't feel good. So in one short sentence, happy money makes you feel good, whereas unhappy money makes you feel very bad.
Great. Now, those that may have a more negative relationship with money and, you know, have those negative feelings, what pieces of advice would you give them to kind of shake that feeling and strive to achieve that happy feeling and that better relationship with their money that they earn?
So first of all, your relationship with money is very unique. It could be different from your friends or your relatives or your coworkers. It's because of your family background and how you're brought up. So and also, even if you're brought up in the same household, your money experiences are different. So the relationship you have with money wasn't built in one day. It's been built over 20, 30, 40 years, all the life you've lived. So it's kind of hard to change it in 2 seconds. But first of all, you have to see what kind of relationship you have. It's the same with relationship. If you are dating with somebody, your pattern is very similar. Mm-hmm. And if you have some kind of relationship, you always fight at the same spot. So even if you change your partner, you end up being in the same spot. So you have to really know that there is a relationship with money. And if it's a negative one, you can always transform it to a positive one. But it's just, once again, it's the same as a human relationship. You have to work on it. You know, it doesn't happen that one day just you fall in love and then you're happy for the rest of your life. Unfortunately, it's not the case.
Yeah. And I think you make a great point about establishing your own relationship with your money, and it's not going to be the same as your friends or those that you see on social media. And I think a lot of young people probably, you know, have that struggle as money has been sensationalized, and we're in an era of social media where you can see other people's wealth pretty visibly, or at least the perception of their wealth. So it's definitely a struggle that I feel a lot are facing out there.
Yes, and money and sex are the two biggest taboos, and we are so attracted to it. We so love it, but we hate it because it's been hurting us. You know, not many people are very happy with financial or sexual life because we've never learned. We never had a good teacher, and parents were lousy teachers. So you know. who are the good teachers? You know,
right.
Our friends are not doing it right. our co-workers or bosses, and nobody seems to figure it right. And so we are lost. So that's why I wrote this book, because I have had this great fortune. You know, I've been very lucky to have great mentors in this matter of money. So I'm very happy to share this simple idea of appreciating your money. That is a key. If you start appreciating money, your life shifts.
Yeah, and really we're starting to see that after reading your book and kind of changing your mindset toward it. Are there any surefire ways to create happy money without fail? Is it possible to turn unhappy money that you might receive, or maybe it's from a job that you're unhappy about, is it possible to turn that anyway into a flow of happy money?
Yes, I call that happy money laundering. Once you receive money, it's all yours. You pass it on as unhappy money, or you happy launder the money and then pass it on with happy money. So the key is appreciation once again. When you receive it, can you appreciate somebody who gave it to you? You know, it's in this modern world, it's hard. People don't want to let go of their money,
right?
But they chose you for the people they're paying to. So you can appreciate your boss, your company, or your clients, whoever that is, somebody trusted in you. So you can appreciate, oh, thank you. Thank you for just giving me the money. And then if you pass it on, instead of just feeling grudge or frustration about spending, even taxes, can you smile when you write a check for bills? And it's a test.
Right, my
That's a tough one.
Yes, my mentor, Wahid Takeda, who's called Warren Buffett of Japan, he taught me when you smile, if you can smile when writing a check to a government, you pass the test. And I said, oh, and I'm very happy, you know, when I give money to other people, but I have a hard time dealing with paying taxes. And he said, do you have a choice? You know, yes, probably not. So you have a choice of smiling or not smiling. It's up to you. And since then, you know, my smile was, you know, wasn't very natural. But after a few years, I began to feel that now I can appreciate in so many ways because our tax money is helping kids and senior people to go take care of their sickness, or just they're paving the roads and they're doing some good things. I know it's being wasted a lot, but still, there are so many reasons that my money can make other people happy.
And seeing where that money goes kind of helps too, when you know that it's going to certain good causes, like you mentioned.
Yes.
If you don't mind, can you talk a little bit about, and I don't know if I'm saying this correctly, is it Maro?
Yes.
And why is that the key to success?
So I had a chance to ask Wahei a secret of money. You know, if you just have an opportunity with Warren Buffett, what would you ask? I asked, what is the secret of wealth? And he said, Maro up. And I didn't get it. He meant magokoro means sincerity. So maro up meaning if you raise your consciousness, if you raise your self-awareness about being nice, being kind to people, you know, the world will be kind to you. And then all his teaching was very Zen. So a lot of times I was lost. And I got it a few years after he talked about it. So still I'm getting it. He passed away a few years ago, but still I'm getting it constantly. Ah, I didn't understand at the time, but now I know what it's like. So Maro up is being kind to yourself, being kind to other people, willing to share, enjoy, appreciate art and love. So that is the attitude. And once you're in this spot of appreciation, It's strange because you cannot worry about money or life, because human mind can focus only one thing at a time. If you are in love and appreciation, you cannot hate some people at the same time.
That's such good advice. And I think too, to me, like what spoke to me is that a lot of this transcends more than just money. And mm-hmm. if you create this appreciation and these level of relationships and in your heart have this level of kindness in a lot of different facets of your life, you're going to be better off regardless. And that, I think, you know, really spoke to me. Yes, it taught me a lot about the relationship with money, but taught me how to apply some of these lessons to other parts of my life.
Yeah, that's my little secret strategy. Once you're just erasing money part, it's going to be your relationship. It's going to be relationship with yourself, with your family members and work. And once you get this, it's going to impact all areas of your life because When you start appreciating what you have, you appreciate whoever around you and who've been supporting you. So oftentimes you will be amazed how much your life has been improved after looking at your relationship with money.
I want to hit you with a quick current events question here before we wrap up. Mm-hmm. You talk a lot about, you know, money and survival having a tight relationship. And I'm curious your take with, you know, COVID-19 and the pandemic happening. Obviously, a lot of people facing some tough economic circumstances. How do you feel like this pandemic will either, you know, maybe shift our view of money globally, you know, towards happy money? Or do you see that we're going to have a longer road or maybe a struggle to find that based on what is in front of us?
Yeah, so now I've been doing YouTube videos over the past few months, and about 5 million people have viewed my Japanese programs. But I've been talking about this topic. But to make it short, this COVID thing is changing our relationship with money, and also not only our relationship with money, but we have to really look at life in a totally different way, because all the things we've done, we cannot keep doing anymore. So we have to shift our consciousness, and also we have to figure out how to be connected with other people, how to be connected with other countries. Right now, we have about more than 100 countries, but many countries are shut out from one another.
Yeah.
It's hard for anyone to travel now because of their quarantine thing.
Right.
And also locally, you know, if you just try to hang out with your friends, curfew makes it hard. Like in Israel, you know, a few weeks ago, they have extended their curfew. So you cannot go beyond 500 yards from your home. And it's hard to, you know, be connected with other people if you cannot go further than that.
Right.
So this whole thing is giving us this opportunity to look at our life, look at a relationship with work, with money, with education. So we have to rethink the whole thing. And it's a great opportunity. And hopefully we take it this time more lightly. You know, 100 years ago, after the Spanish flu hit, we had a World War II. And I hope this time we won't take the road, because, you know, look what's happening among the countries. We are fighting not together, but separately. So I hope this is a time to start cooperating with each other.
Yeah.
I
hope more people can connect like we are. I mean, and to not go too deep, like this podcast was born from the pandemic. You know, Zach and I sat down, and when things were paused, we reflected what is important to us, what do we want to get out of the future, and decided to go down this path. So definitely speaking some truth and resonating with us when we talk about bridging the gap between, you know, countries and people, and not creating separation based on the challenges we face.
Yeah, so right now it's very interesting. You know, you're going to have an election, and we're so afraid, and we are so afraid that we are being separated. So we'll see. You know,
right. And to kind of circle back around, I know you said, you know, your purpose was born from some trauma too, and much in the way that you spoke about that, you can really kind of gear that toward the COVID-19 situation. And yes, this is it's not the best situation, but like you said, it's a great opportunity to grow from and to find yourself in and find each other in, which is, I think, one of the most important lessons we can get from this. Before we wrap, Andrew and I are both parents of some very young children. He's got two young girls. I've got a boy and a girl, all under the age of 4. But as parents of young kids, and really any children, but what should we as parents be teaching our own kids about money?
I have a daughter, and I have told my daughter that money can do wonders for people. Money can work wonders for the world. So I hope all the parents teach kids that money is a beautiful thing, and because money can save people's lives. But unfortunately, because of our stress, our parents' stress, and because of our social common sense, we tend to think and treat money as a dirty thing. So we tend to ignore that money doesn't exist, or just we become hoarders. So we get upset when we find our kids are wasting money. So hopefully we can teach our kids that the world is a beautiful, safe place, and you can do all the wonders with money, because that's what money was invented for. So it's like a tool. Use it wisely.
Well said.
Great advice.
Well, Ken, it's been amazing to listen and to learn from you tonight, or this morning in Japan. How can people reach you and find out more information?
So you can find my information at kenhonda.com, K-E-N, Honda as in a car. And a lot of information is still in Japanese, but I'll just start working on my English and just start creating more content. Because I have helped millions of people in Japan, and I hope I can help so many English-speaking people, because it's the same, you know, we've been stressed with money. So hopefully you start your shifting your relationship with money. It doesn't happen in one day, but it's going to happen if you just keep trying.
Thank you so much, Ken. We really appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Ken.
Thank you.
Appreciate the kindness.
Thank you, Zach.
Arigato.
Thank you, Zach and Andrew. Yes, arigato.
Take care.
Take care.
All right, wow. That was awesome. Again, can't communicate the level of appreciation we have for Ken jumping on, giving us the time. I think the blessing and the curse of this podcast is going to be, we're trying to bring you some of the perspective these experts have in a very short amount of time. I would have loved to sit there and had lunch with Ken for 2 hours, you know?
Right. No, it feels like the tip of the iceberg.
Right.
You know, there's so much more that we could have discussed. But of course, you want to be, you know, respectful of the time, and I'm sure he's busy. So
it's got to be 7 million copies of his book. I mean, he's doing something right.
He's doing something right. What are your main takeaways? So what kind of resonated with you the most out of that interview? I know there's a lot to it, of course, but anything that really hit home?
Yeah, I mean, I think you said it well. It was the tip of the iceberg, but I encourage anyone listening to go out and get the Happy Money book. I don't think you'll be disappointed with what you read. To me, the themes of kindness, appreciation, raising your level of conscious, like these things can be applied to much more than money. So when you think about, you know, some of the frustrations you have in life or some of the challenges, and they're complex, right? Like if you take those things and you apply those to other areas, I think, you know, I at least feel better off after, and, you know, probably drive away from here tonight thinking about the things I am appreciative of, how I can be kinder to others or communicate kindness more often. So those three things, I think to me were really impactful. How about you?
I think the main theme I was saying was just the stress on the positive and thinking in a positive way. You know, we brought up taking something that maybe was a point of stress and frustration or something and turning it into a strength, and much the way he did growing up. You know, money was never an issue for him in his family, but he realized and he kind of saw how money was very traumatic to a close family friend and to his dad as well. And and then you kind of take that anecdote and the story, and you bring it to present day now in this situation that we're all in. And it's, again, it's an opportunity right now is what we have. And I think that's the word he used, is, you know, take these moments of unfortunate events and use it in a positive way, to be kinder to others, to be more mindful in the way you use your money for good. And I think, you know, you're probably likely to see more money come your way when you work that way.
Yeah.
You know,
I think too, one word that didn't come up, but I've just been thinking it for the last few minutes, is patience. He talked about it may take 20, 30, 40 years to establish this positive relationship, and taking that term patience and relating it to the podcast and the truth experiment, like we're trying to be patient with our own journey.
Sure.
And I think right. living that out through some of these conversations is cool. And so I would encourage, you know, those listening again, like, yeah, read the book, but also be patient. We're trying to practice that ourselves and attain a better level of being comfortable with our money, you know, each day.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, they're not making it any easier with all this instant, you know, instant gratification they're giving. It feels like you want to have this all yesterday, mm-hmm. and it doesn't work like that. Things take time.
Yeah, and that's what I was trying to get to with the you know, talking about the sensationalism and the perception of money. Like, it's very easy on social media for some of these influencers to portray a lifestyle. And if you're not...
You see their best life.
Exactly. And if you're not wise enough to sift through the BS, mm-hmm. like, you're going to get caught in this in the trap. How does that person have this?
And
how are they doing this?
It's
right?
It's easy to get caught up in.
Right? So it's... Yeah, that to me is, like, important. Like, making money yours and having your own relationship with it, because it's going to mean something different to you than it is your neighbor, your friend, your father, you know, it's
like
going to be different.
Any other relationship.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I thought it was good that he kind of, you know, compared that to a relationship with a person, because, you know, it's legitimate. I mean, you have feelings toward money the way you would have feelings towards somebody else, and your feelings will dictate how you treat that person or that money that you have. And so it's really important to be conscious, I think, of that relationship and just have that respect there.
Yep, absolutely. You know? And now in my mind, you know, he said parents are bad teachers, and now I'm just going to have that in my mind for the next 10, 18, 25 years till my, you know, the kids stop listening to me.
Right.
But, it was a fun conversation and, I think a great start to what we're looking to do here.
I mean, how cool that he's actually been to Niagara Falls. I mean, I'll tell you, once this all passes, it'll be great if we can actually link up again with him and maybe get him back on. That would be cool.
I guess, you know, a short lesson is, in the middle of a pandemic, you can connect with someone from Buffalo, New York to Tokyo, Japan.
Amazing. Well, it's been fun. It's one of the first ones we've done, of course. It's not perfect, but we're learning. We're getting better every day, right?
We'll do it again.
Hey, guys. Thanks for listening to this episode of The Truth Experiment. If you like what you heard and would like to contribute to this journey, please subscribe and leave us some feedback in the reviews. Also, you'll want to make sure to check us out on Twitter at TruthEXPod and on Instagram and TikTok at Truth Experiment Podcast. For more episodes, please check us out on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and all other major streaming platforms. Until next time, keep getting better every day.